the previous week, upon a certain hadith, we had a discussion going through the hadith, and because time was short at that time, we could not fulfill our discussion or complete our discussion and upon the hadith. So inshallah, the remainder of the hadith we will continue to discuss today. And some brothers who are here now maybe were not present in the previous majlis gathering, so we will start to continue the discussion with a summary, a short summary of what we discussed last week, so that the subject is continuous and our lesson from last week is made solid, so we can revise what we discussed. And then we will continue from there. So the hadith was like this. The meaning of the hadith was like this, as we were discussing, that Hazrat Salman Farsi, radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, who was a great companion, a noble companion, and he was on a journey or going somewhere with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as they were walking, suddenly they embarked or came across, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came across and saw a scene, and they suddenly sat down. And in front of them was open plain, open ground, upon which there were children, kids, playing. They were simply playing on the open plain on the field. And Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he wasn't shocked, because the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, their style and mannerism was such that every movement and style of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mannerism, they considered as hikmah, wisdom. And Allah Ta'ala created the shu'ur, the conscience within them. They knew that there was some learning from here to come. That upon this action, what is the message that is going to come? They were waiting, they wanted to learn. So in the same way, Hazrat Salman Farsi, radiyallahu anhu, also sat down suddenly with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And silence was there. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his style at that time, his mannerism at that time, was that there was a lot of attention being paid to the children, a lot of fikr, concern, you could say, contemplation, analysis of what the children were doing. After some time, after a little while, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, O Salman, that I really like, I love five habits of children. Five traits of children I really like, I really prefer. And out of those five, the first habit of the children, or generally of children, that I love, is that children love the soil, the earth, the sand, the dirt, and they play on the sand, on the dirt, subhanallah. And do you know, Salman, that the dirt, the sand, has within it simplicity, humbleness, and lowly feeling, and consideration for itself, and it bears all of the issues that occur upon it. It perseveres, is patient. So Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the example of the children, gave a great message to the whole ummah, to the whole nation of believers, that, oh my ummah, if you want my love, if you want to become my mahbub, my beloved, then create this quality and attribute within you, that of being simple, of being humble, of lowering yourself, and to be able to bear and persevere the hardships. If you become like the dirt, the sand, then you will become the mahbub of Rabbul Alameen's mahbub. Subhanallah. It will be like the dirt and the sand, but you will be very high grade status. So this is the first message, my friends. The first point that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us via the action of the kids, the children. A great message. And this is dangerous for us. What is the most dangerous thing for us to have within as an attribute is takabbur, pride, which is the opposite to humbleness, sincerity, the lower, feeling yourself as lower than others. If a person is proud of himself, that, for example, the individual, he considers himself superior over others. We should consider only one as the superior, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is most superior. Allah is the extreme, the superior. Subhanallah. So who is greater? The one who gives or the one who takes? Always the one who gives is the one who is greater. If you are rich, who gave you the wealth? If you are a person who has got high status in society, who gave you that status? If you are handsome, beautiful, who gave you that beauty? If you have power, energy, strength, who gave you that strength? If you are a big alim, a scholar, who gave you that knowledge? If you are a very big muhaddith, teacher of hadith, a hadith, who made you the muhaddith? If you are a hafid and you got Quran and strength in your heart, who allowed that to come into your heart? Who instilled that hifz into your heart? So why takabbur? Why pride? Everything is independent from us, except the one who gives. Allah who gives can take at any time. So if those things, those qualities, attributes are not ours, then why are we fussing over them? Why do you consider that we are better, or this is mine and that is not theirs? Rather, in opposition to that, if a person then has all of these great qualities and becomes simple, humble, unless tawaza. Tawaza is that when a person accepts, has that feeling and emotion, this is not mine, that Allah is the one who gave, Allah is the one who gives, and He is the one who controls. And then that person becomes high in status. But the person says, look at me, look how good a driver I am. This is also takabbur. This is a unique point. I tell you that takabbur isn't just inherent within rich people, high class so-called people of society, or in the so-called big people, or from big things. No. Takabbur, pride, can be in any person, in every level or class of life. For example, if I have people who sweep the roads or clean toilets or cleaners, etc. Even whatever job, whatever career person has, whatever he does, everyone can have it. Takabbur. Even the people who clean, who do simple things. Because one cleaner will say to the other cleaner, oh, what do you know? I know how to earn and get more work and jobs. I know how to do things better than you. This is also takabbur. It's not necessary that we just pick on the rich people. No. Everybody on every level and plane of life, if he considers or she considers themselves as better, superior, this is takabbur. It doesn't matter what field of life you're in, what activity you're doing. You're a sweet maker, you make the sweets, and you say you're the best, and you're better than others. This is kibr. This is pride. Yes, let's take a driver. I'm better than everyone. No one's good as me. You're a driver. Normal thing maybe, but kibr. Pride. So every activity through which a person starts to consider and believe that he is better than others. But tawaza teaches us that every quality and attribute I've got within me, characteristics, it's not my achievement, it's not my feat. Allah is the one who's given to me. Allah can take from me whenever He wants. So brothers, first sabak, first lesson that the children taught us, what was this? Allahu Akbar, by playing in the dirt, in the sand. Rasulullah said, I love this very much so, that these children are playing. Where they're playing? On the soil, on the sand, on the dirt, on the ground, on the earth. And where is their simplicity and humbleness and normality? In the earth. And what lowers itself around everything else? The earth, the dirt. This is the lesson, that if these children will play on this ground and earth, then the quality of the earth will also rub off onto the children, and they will become simple and humble and sincere. So the message here is, if you want to become good, you won't get it from a kutab, from a dars, from a lecture, but if you sit down next to somebody who possesses these qualities, then they will rub off onto you. What a great lesson. You will not get these qualities and attributes from anyone. Salman, if you want these qualities of humbleness, sincerity, and lowering yourself, you'll get it from the company of the person who has these things. Children have the company of the earth, the good qualities of the earth come into them. So if we want to be humble and sincere and get rid of the kibr, then sit with a person who has this. You don't need knowledge, you have nothing else, and this will rub off onto you. So we got to this point. This was the discussion of last week. This was the teaching of the hadith. Aha. So now, continuing the hadith, the wind is blowing, the cool wind, the children are playing. MashaAllah. And I'm telling you, the words or the meaning of the hadith as it comes out. So the children are playing on the dirt, on the sand. The wind is blowing with the gust of the wind. Then the wind takes up the specks of sand and the dirt, and the specks of dirt, etc., reach to the Prophet ﷺ, onto his lap and onto the face of Hazrat Salman Farsi Rodino. And the gust of wind that's blowing from the children's direction is coming towards Rasulullah ﷺ, Hazrat Salman Farsi. And after the first habit and trait of the children, then Hazrat Salman Farsi Rodino is already flowing with tears from his eyes, and his heart was soft. Everything he heard from Rasulullah ﷺ would drop into his heart. If only our hearts were like this, that we hear and read the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, and our hearts soften and tears come to our eyes, and we start thinking that Allah, yes, we need this, we need this. Allahu Akbar. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, may my parents be owed to you. What is the second quality and habit of the children that you like and love? SubhanAllah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Salman, the second habit and trait of the children that I like is this, that they come in the morning during the day, they spend their time in the day or here on the dirt, on the sand, and then they start playing, they start building things, they start making little houses out of the sand." You know, when you see children with the sand, they're making houses and models, and they start to decorate their homes, they start putting little things in their pathways, and they have things in their mind, they start making mansions or palaces, put little twigs into there, they start decorating them, they make castles and moats, then they show to the other children, look what I've made, don't come near my one, don't come near my model, don't come next to my house, this is my house. And the other child says, no, this is mine, mine's better than yours. And they start talking and debating and playing. And who is saying this? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the children are there, he's paying attention to them. And Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, so Rasulullah is paying attention to the children, and Hazrat Salman Faris radiallahu anhu is paying attention to Rasulullah's face, blessed face. So this is how the effect of the learning has come, that how does the effect of this lesson rub off onto me? This is his intention. So Rasulullah has given us the teaching, they're making their homes, their castles, their models, no one's allowed to come near to his one or this one or that one, and they have no fikr, they're playing, they're enjoying, and they're showing to each other that I've made this, look at my one, mine's good, your one maybe not as good. And in that way the day passes, afternoon comes, mid-afternoon, and sunset approaches, the children still play, and then the sun starts to set, and then the shadows, they lengthen, the sun sets, and soon as the sun starts to set, everyone, the children, all of them, they leave everything they've done for the whole day, and they run home and they rest in the lap of their mother. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Salman, I love this habit of the children. I love this. Allahu Akbar. What a message! What a message! What a message!" Life is during the day. We live our life during the day. Starts from the morning. When the morning starts, yani life is a light in the daytime, isn't it? In the daytime, in the morning, we get up, we start living our life, we start making houses and big properties, land, shops, transactions, business structures, and quarreling, disputing, and people kill each other over money, and have court cases, and disputes, and beating people, all of the fasadad, we start counting the money and the notes. This is our pastime, isn't it? And in reality, what is this? The hadith tells us what? That whatever is happening in the dunya and the world around us, it is like the children playing in the dirt and the sand during that day. This dunya that we're living is also the playing of the children. Just like the children start playing, "This is my house, this shop is mine, this car is mine, I've earned this much, this is what I've done, and you've given me this much, and you can't come near my house, and I can't come near your house." And slowly, slowly, the day passes and the life passes. And as the day passes, the years pass. And when the sun sets, then the life sets, and the life comes to an end. And just like the children, they disappear from the sand, the dirt, the playing field, and the sun sets, and their bodies start to get tired, and they start creaking. Person gets unwell and tired and exhausted, and then the sun of the life starts to set. And as the sun of the life starts to set, insan, where does he go? Into the lap of his mother. And for us, what is the lap of our mother? The qabr, the grave. The grave, isn't this not our life? So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling, "Al-manun, al-manun, zinatul hayatul dunya." Subhanallah, my friends, we have to open the eyes that this is the playing of the children. Al-malu bununa, that the children, the habits and the lesson from the children, they are presenting the tafsir of the Quran, alhamdulillah, to us. So brothers, mal, wealth, dawlat, upon which we are working hard and making effort, this is our maqsad. This is our maqsad. At this time, this is our maqsad. We do ibadah. Even when we worship, we think about dunya. In prostration, we think about wealth. In ruku, bowing, we make think about wealth. In the masjid, we think about dunya. Outside the masjid, dunya. In the house, dunya. Outside the house, dunya. Everywhere. This is our ibadah. Allah Ta'ala says, "Al-mana bununa al-zinu hayatu dunya." That this is what we do. That this is the playing of the children. Just like the children were playing, they're making the palace, etc. If we saw this, would we not laugh? Why they're making these castles and models, etc.? What are they doing? But we don't think, what is the Quran telling us? That we don't understand the Quran. The Quran tells us that everything that you're doing, everything you're doing, it is temporary. It is not real. It's just going to stay until the dunya. The glitter and the glow of the dunya. The al-malu bununa, zinatul hayat dunya. So al-baqiyatu salihat. Subhanallah. We should go towards that thing which will stay forever. Baqiyatu salihat, subhanallah. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Wal-baqiyatu salihatu khayrun عِنْدَ رَبَّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Allah Ta'ala loves the opposite to that. Wealth and children are an ornament of this world's life, but good deeds, the fruit whereof endures forever, are of far greater merit in Allah Ta'ala's sight, and a far better source of hope and reward. And they will stay forever. Baqa, permanent. So there's thawab, and there's reward, and there's hope. So there are four things here. The fruit of good deeds, Allahu Akbar, they stay forever. There's more merit in them in Allah Ta'ala's sight, and a great source of hope. Allah Ta'ala has told us, and the things of the world, al-malu wal-bununa zinatul hayati dunya. It's like playing in the dirt, the sand. Soon as the sun sets, we will depart and leave them here. We will leave everything here. The wind, the gust, the palaces, the mansions, the castles, the moats that the children made in the night. The wind comes, the rain comes, the water comes, and destroys everything there. And just like we in the world, when we close our eyes, when the time expires, let's say we're sitting in a beautiful car, nice expensive car, and our eyes close, we fall asleep, and we get to our destination, then we have to leave the car. We don't have the car then, do we? So it's just like the children, they leave that asset, we go back to where we want to go, and everything we will leave here in this world. I remember an event. Allahu Akbar. Opposite to my shop was a shop owned by Haji Sahib. In the last 30, 40 years, this event took place, and certain points they hit hard on the mind and the heart. May Allah Ta'ala elevate his rank, his status, about who I'm speaking. Allah Ta'ala forgive him. So his habit used to be that after every 2-3 hours he'd come to me, Hazrat Sahib, Sheikh Sahib, do dua for me. My business is not flourishing. I've got debts on my head. I don't want debts to come on me. There's no sale. The income's not high. There's no gross income, no profit. What will happen to me? What's going to happen? What will you do? What will I do? This is how people think, you know, business minded kind of, you know, in the dunya. What will happen? I don't know if they said, you sit here with ease and like there's nothing happening. Do dua for me. Do something for me. This was his daily habit. He used to come to me. One day, he didn't come to me. He didn't come to me. I thought, why isn't Haji Sahib coming? His shop was opposite. And I didn't know. This was his, as I said, regular thing. The business isn't running. There's no profit. I said, Hazrat Sahib, mashallah, you eat better than me. You have nice breakfast. You bring food with you, lunch with you, and I have dry bread. You have a milk bottle, and you have everything. He used to laugh. No, this is not the case. You know, customers aren't coming, and I've got stock in the shop, and a lot of assets here, but I'm distressed. I don't have the profit. And the one day, he didn't come to me, and I was thinking, I heard suddenly the siren of the ambulance. The ambulance sirens. I thought maybe some tragedies occurred somewhere. When started people, there was a clamor and noise. I realized that this clamor is coming from Haji Sahib shop, but I didn't think anything of it at that time. And then I realized that he had a heart attack and he'd passed away. Haji Sahib, when I realized this, the ambulance took him, and then I got up from my shop and look at the feeling, what happened. Suddenly this tragedy had occurred, and I went to his shop and I stood in front of his shop. Al-manu wal-bununa zinatul hayati dunya. Wealth and children are an adornment of this world's life. His clothes were there, his stock was there, his seat was there, it was warm, the cushions were warm. That till near to which he wouldn't let anybody come, there were men walking around, revolving around his till, and there were 3-4 men thinking, where's the owner of the shop that we can buy something from him? I stood there 10 minutes, tears flowing from my eyes. This is dunya. This dunya, it betrays us. The Haji Sahib had so much fikr and worry of the world, and he was distressed and sad and worried about the world and assets and profit and money. And he didn't think about anything else during that time, that period. What happened? Al-malu wal-bununa zinatul hayati dunya. And Rasulullah said that I love this habit of the children and this playing of the children in the day and then they leave in the night. This gives us a lesson that don't put your heart into this world. This world will betray you. Don't create an attachment with this world. But what should we do? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبَّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عَمَلًا وَخَيْرٌ عَمَلًا. This is the also a hadith. What is the meaning of this? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ. Rasulullah said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. This is the tashri' of this verse of the Quran. You've said Subhanallah. I've said this kalima. I swear by Allah. What is this become? Our recitation, the reward. All our life we earn dunya. All our life the promises, the pacts, the contracts, the kingdom, the power, leadership. I swear by Allah, it cannot be like a speck of dust compared to this dhikr that we've just recited. It doesn't even come near. The Quran says, "Al-walbaqiyatu salihatu khairun inda rabbaka thawaban wa khairun amala." That you're doing dhikr. You've just recite this kalima, the all of the kingdoms and lands and sultanates, everything will stay in the world when you pass away. But these kalimats you've just recited, this dhikr you've just recited, is beloved to Allah and it is baqa. It will not finish. It will endure forever. No wind can knock it down. The Quran is saying, "Wal baqiyatu salihat." Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala said this to us. Allah has given the example to explain to us, to make us understand that this world is an open field. And I send the well, in the well I send rain. That rain, it drops upon the earth. Then Allah Ta'ala says, I create the conditions for the land to become fertile, full of life, sustenance, vitality. And then movement occurs on the earth. Then the winds come. And all of the things in the world, there are branches and trees and leaves. But then suddenly the wind comes and it can destroy everything in its wake. And it moves everything that you see in front of your eyes. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is my power. And then Allah says, Al-Mana, Subhanallah. Al-Malu wal-Bununa zinatul hayatid dunya. But in opposition to that, yes, that these children, say Subhanallah, brothers, then see the root of this in Jannah. One tree totally has been planted for each and every one of us. And 100 years, if we gallop under the shadow of that tree, the shadow of that tree will not end. This is the road. Open your eyes, brothers, open your eyes, open your eyes. Death is near, death is near. I give you an example. Subhanallah, all day long we run around. Me as well, you, all of us, we woke up in the morning. And like the children, we made our homes in the castles, in the sand, running on the taxi, someone's going to work, there's fraud, deception, lying, contracts, and hypocrisy, everything. From 9 a.m. in the morning, what time did we come to this masjid? 8 p.m. So from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m, wife, children, home, outside, inside, world, dunya, we pray. And during prayer, we're thinking of dunya. We're praying, and even in our salah this dunya, even my talawat this dunya, in my recitation this dunya, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we fulfill this. But the world does not disappear. The world will not go anywhere. What I'm trying to say is this point, that the dunya will never disappear. It will never go away from the face of our faces in sajda and prostration and ruku in our salah, outside, inside. From morning, 9 a.m, when we got up, left the house, went outside or inside the house, until 8 p.m. What have we done? Al-Mawlu wal-Bununa zinatul hayati dunya. You have done that work, wealth and children, an adornment of this world's life. But then you came into this masjid, you just sat down and you recited two kalimat, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah Rabbul Kareem. I swear by Allah that if we pass away now, then all of our efforts we made in our life in the day today, we won't know about them, but these kalimats will take us to Jannah, paradise. This is the value Allah Ta'ala zikr. These two kalimats, why? Because Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa la akbar. When we say this, wa la hawla wa la quwwata, then these kalimats, they go up into the air. The angels grab them, they take them under their wings, and they go through all of the skies and the heavens, and they get to the arsh, the throne of Allah. And they revolve around the throne, and they start saying astaghfar for the reciter. And soon as qiyamah will be existent, those kalimats won't disappear. The angels will keep hold of them. Soon as we pass away, and then these deeds will go with us. وَالْبَاقِيَةُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عَمَلًا. Allah says they will go with you, these kalimats, to that point that we will be present in front of Allah. These kalimat will be there with us, and they'll say, Allah, forgive this person. In the world, he recited us, Allah. Ah, what value can I give for these majalis, for this gathering, for dhikr, for these things? And we make a fuss, we complain, our understanding, our aql, our intellect, it is totally being overwhelmed by the dunya, the love. Summun, umyun, bukmun. Nobody understands. And doesn't matter what happens. When we make an advertisement, there's this majlis and gathering, and this is how much we'll earn. But if we run towards dunya, we know about how much money we're going to make. You'll open the shop from morning till evening, you'll get 100,000 pounds. I'll say everyone in the city will run to the shop. 100,000 pounds, 100,000 pounds, let's go, let's make that. Open the shop, run the business. If we announce for the masjid, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Allah Ta'ala is announcing, come, there's falah in the masjid. There's rizq in the masjid, there's wealth in the masjid, there's everything in the masjid. But nobody will leave his mattress in the morning to go to the masjid, to Allah's home, to pray. 5 times Allah Ta'ala announces, distributes the rewards through salah. Come, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah. No, there are many other ibadat, all the other ibadat, there's no announcement for tilawat of Quran, for other ibadat and worship, there's no announcement. Allah Ta'ala says that we may make the posters and announce, but Allah Ta'ala himself has selected an ibadah, worship, that Allah Ta'ala has announced. Has he not announced? 5 times a day through adhan, Allah Ta'ala calls the people to prayer. Come. Who is calling? Allah is calling. And what do we do? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, his gathering. What do we do? Aha, this kalama tells us the reward. What will happen? The effect of one reciting of dhikr. And we, when we depart from such majalis, will leave us billionaires and trillionaires. But we don't know this, what we're earning. Through dhikr of Allah, we become trillionaires, brothers. My brothers, compare and analyze our lives versus what it should be. Rasulullah said, I love this habit of the children. What? First they were playing on the dirt and the sand. Secondly, they make their hands, with their own hands, the houses, and with their own hands they destroy them and leave in the evening at the sunset time, which will be the time of our death in our life. So Islam, remember another point important, Islam definitely has not told us leave the world, don't earn dunya, live in the jungles and the mountains, live in isolation. No. Allah Ta'ala, what has Allah said? Look at the message here, that don't love the dunya, Allah Ta'ala says. Don't have the love of dunya. Money, wealth is a need, is a requirement for us in life. We need it to spend expenses. But keep the money to your pocket. Don't let it go into your hearts. Don't let the wealth and the desire and the love of dunya go into your hearts. This is no problem. Keep the money in your pocket. Have 100,000 in your pocket. Keep it in your wallet. But don't let the wallet come into the heart. And when it doesn't go into the heart, I swear by Allah, it won't come in your salah, in your ruku, in your prostration, in your tilawat, in your recitation, your dhikr, and not in your dream either. Not in your dream either. And this is how we should be in Islam. Not making the dunya, not making nice houses, not making nice shops. This is Allah Ta'ala who gives the insan, alhamdulillah, that if we earn halal, lawfully, within the boundaries of Islam, and we earn assets and wealth, I get a shop, and I run that shop, and I progress that business, and I have transactions, and time of salah, I close the shutters. On the time of deen, I close the shutters in the shop. In other words, I follow and run my business accordance to Islam. And I earn 10 or 15 pounds. Then alhamdulillah, those 10, 15 are like 10 or 15,000 for me. And there will be no less of barakah. But if I get 100,000, and this is the ni'mah of Allah. Allah says, eat, drink, buy cars, have assets, no restriction. But don't let the dunya enter into your heart. And that's the danger, the threat. When dunya comes into the heart, that's when it destroys us. But don't think Islam has prevented us to progress, have ambition, and have visions and plans and strategies. No problem. Islam is not prevented us. Look at the Sahaba. They were rich, some of them. They used to do tijara, business. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was rich. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf, he was very wealthy. He was a tajir, businessman. Yes. Hazrat Uthman Ghani, his camels, trading, etc. But dunya wasn't in their hearts. It was just external. If it came, happy. If it didn't come, happy. No loss. No sadness. So when we become like this, don't cry. Hi, 5 pounds is less. Oh, 2 pounds less today. Oh, I don't have any money. Oh, what will happen to me? Where will we go now? Everything is present. Don't have this loss or sadness. If it comes, alhamdulillah. And I appreciate that Allah Ta'ala has given me this word. This poor person, this person I will give, I'll distribute to the poor, and the rest I'll keep in my pocket. Allah Ta'ala loves this. Allah Ta'ala loves this. This is ni'mah. Treasure to earn from your hands, to work hard with your hands, to provide the children, your wife, to look after them, to earn halal, and to save yourself from the debts, and not look at your status, and to love the dunya, and to run after the dunya, and progression dunya. This is fine, we can do this, but within the boundary, Islam teaches us this. What else teaches this? Islam doesn't say leave everything and stay locked up in your house and hide from the world. No, have the link with the dunya to earn, but don't let it come into the heart. Don't let the love of the world come into the heart. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen. And now, after today, the third habit and trait of the children, we've covered two now. Next Thursday evening, insha'Allah, the night of Jummah, we'll speak and learn from the blessed words of Rasulullah Sayyidul Musaneen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if our life exists till next week. Ameen. Recite the Ruh Sharif.